Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday. You're welcome.
Man.
6-0.
The Glover streak is strong.
Probably won't see a loss all year.
Well, you know, you
should go to New York.
Wait, I was going to say, you better be getting on a plane, bro. If you look at what they've done so far this year, there's a strong case to be made that you need to be on the traveling squad. They're 1-5 away, they're 8-4 at home, and you're 6-0.
And when I don't go,
call Ricky, get on the
like
team
yesterday.
Flight.
He's not taking my calls anymore.
Oh no.
Yeah. Last thing he said to me was 100 yards means 100 yards.
Well, call Ben then. He can get you on the flight.
I have a restraining order against Ben.
Oh.
So it's
oh, you have one against him.
Yes,
I got you.
It's complicated.
I say that makes more sense.
Yes.
Yeah. The tangled webs we weave.
I saw the two of them today because of where we were sitting.
Yeah.
They were up in the booth and I just looked over and they looked down and saw me. I'm like, waving at the guys.
Did they acknowledge?
They did.
Oh, that's good. I was going to say, they can't be dissing the DGS.
No, they were like, hey, but I mean, we were really far away, like five sections away, but yeah.
Well, they saw you, though.
They did. Well, I mean, you know.
What are you
short ginger. Not many of us.
Not going to see Wheeler?
Yeah.
I have judgments of people, and I'm completely punching down.
No.
You want to hear them?
I mean, I'm short, so I better get ready.
Rach and I were behind a grandma that sucked.
She was not nice to the lady at the concession
awful.
Stand.
Oh, you're behind her in the line.
Yes.
I was like, I didn't remember a grandma sitting in front of us.
No, okay, she was.
Okay. I was like, are they talking about me?
In line.
We saw your grandma behind your back.
Yeah. She just blew.
What was she doing?
She wasn't nice. I like it when people are nice to whoever's working. It's like, just be like, oh, hello. Acknowledge them.
Yeah.
Maybe throw in a thank you or something. But she was very brusque.
Yeah.
She like, just get me a hot dog.
Pretty much.
Nacho Supreme and a large Coke. Yeah.
And then the very nice lady who was working there was like, oh, I'll put them down over there for you to make it easier for her to carry. And she goes, yeah, put them over there. I'm like,
she was awful.
Please. Thank you.
Man.
Second person I'm judging, the bad boy.
The bat boy?
I didn't like his hustle.
Which side?
Our side.
The Cardinals side.
Didn't like his hustle.
He didn't have a lot of hustle.
No.
But he wasn't vibing.
I saw him running a couple times.
Tennis matches.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
He was like jogging. I don't know. He didn't have a lot of hustle.
Well, I mean, like,
what if that was his crappy grandma?
You got time. That would be amazing. Like, they have time. It don't have to be like a dead sprint.
I don't like it.
A dead sprint would be nice is all I'm saying.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if I did that, I'd have a heart
frenetic.
Attack.
Frenetic.
If I moved anywhere close to that kid's gentle jog, I would have a heart attack on the spot. But he should have a little more hustle.
Nah. Rach had a great idea, though, during the game. She said we should kill that grandma. No, she she said that we should raise money, probably for Operation Food Search in the fall, and we should host like a celebrity softball game.
There we go.
Tournament. Maybe we put together a media team. You know?
Yeah.
And make people pay to play us.
Let's go. Raise money for Operation Food Search just to have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get some other, outside of just media, we can maybe get some other celebrities.
Yeah, get some ex-Cardinals.
Former players.
Pack the team.
Oh, yeah. And then, right. And then if you lose to us, you owe another $500 to the charity. No, I'm
nice. Pretty good.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No,
I'm
that's
kidding.
Pretty good. I kind of like
you
that.
You come strong. Watch, though. Some of these softball teams, man, they're loaded. They'll come out and just hit nothing but dingers.
Yeah, you can't be better than us.
Nah.
Yeah. I will be placing hefty wagers on this game, so.
An underdog?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Kevin hit 5 home runs.
Oh, good
yes,
Lord.
He will.
I'll hit 6 pop-ups in the first 6 at-bats. That's what I do in softball.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have Dave Murray coming up at 4 p.m., and that's all we have. So
yep.
Just thought I'd be honest with you.
All right.
I have a hot take on another person at the game today, if you'd like to hear it.
I mean,
this guy, as you're walking up to the game, and there's lots of little kids with Fred Bird hats and things like that.
And that's why you're burning in hell. That's why the sinew inside your bones will melt when the devil.
Like, I don't think that's doing what he thinks it's doing. I celebrate and support his right to do it. It's within the law, free speech, zoning, all that stuff. I don't think you're doing your team any good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he's down there every single game.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think that to myself often. Like, how many people actually approach him and say, tell me more about the word of God?
It sounds so good. Right, you make it seem so attractive.
I've never seen anyone also, stop who and are interact you? With him.
Who are you as an authority to tell us anything?
Oh, he's hitting them with a, you're no better than a man.
I mean, you're no smarter than any of us or anybody that's walking past you.
Maybe Andrew.
Yeah.
He could be a priest.
What if I went out there one of these days with my own megaphone and stood right next to him and just heckled him?
Don't be that guy.
I want to be that guy, but I'm not going to be.
I don't feel like he's heckling us necessarily. It's just, it's more like, there's got to be a more attractive way to do this. Because I don't feel like he's like, you're the worst as you're walking by.
I mean, he's describing how you're burn in hell.
Well, I mean, fair point.
Other than that, he's not a nice guy.
I grew up with that, so it just kind of washes off me. I'm like, yes, burning in hell.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, nobody thinks I'm going anywhere else, so I'm used to it.
Like, bro, just have a beer or something.
I appreciate his hustle. He's been out there like every time we've gone to a game this year. He's been out there instead of having a job, instead of having friends, instead of having a family. He's hustling. He's out there.
Here's my
the
take.
Word.
Go do something for individual people that makes their lives better. Go help people that are homeless. Go feed people that are at a food shelter. Do something real for people instead of yelling at people. That's how you do the good thing. And by the way, that's also how you reach people. You don't reach anybody by grabbing a megaphone and shouting in their faces. Who wants that? Who listens to that? Who accepts that?
Probably that old grandma. Maybe the bat boy.
Yeah, she's probably the one behind it all.
New study found out that if you don't work out, you can get almost the same health benefits by just rushing through all the stuff you do.
Get your heart rate up by being late all the time or something?
Yeah. Uh-oh. So like if you're going to clean the house and it's going to take you an hour, do it in 10 minutes and you'll get a health benefit from that.
Okay.
Guess that makes sense.
I mean, so in other words, it's kind of the same as going for a walk or a jog.
They said even just the mental rushing, though, has some sort of benefit.
Oh.
What if the thing I need to rush to do is eat a sandwich?
There you go.
Yeah,
what if rush I eat putting together
dinner? Because that's going what against the eating advice cookies to eat slowly, right?
I mean, it's like, eating cookies really fast.
Yeah. I think that makes it better.
That's all that's on my diet.
I think it helps you burn those calories faster.
Man, getting in shape is the worst. All the time I'm like, well, once I'm in shape, it'll be so much easier to do this exercise because my body will be there. But then it's like, no, you have to do the work to get to that place.
That part's bad.
Yeah, that part sucks.
Part's not good.
It depends on what shape you're shooting for.
Just better shape than I'm
in
now.
Oh, I'm like,
yeah, I hit circle real easily.
Say square's not hard.
I hit circle, like I hit sphere like nothing.
My soul just died a little bit. I thought we were out at 55:50, and I'm like, why isn't she hitting the music?
Nope,
and I looked at the sign, and it said 56:50. I'm like, I don't have it in me.
Think of something clever.
Who
for
else
the next
made
60
you mad
seconds?
At the ballpark?
You a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure I did.
Because you wouldn't sit next to Andrew. What? And Andrew a little bit because he wouldn't share the nachos I bought for you two.
I tried.
Oh,
he didn't want them.
He offered.
He didn't want them.
Too many peppers.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Did you guys put the peppers on, or did they put the peppers on?
They did.
They put a lot on.
They went bananas. I have never seen nachos so loaded, which I mean, like, good value.
And you know what? Thank you, Andrew. They were very loaded, and that's the reason why that grandma should have been nice.
Yeah.
Because that worker was doing an amazing job, and she didn't appreciate it at all.
Tied up in a nice little bow.
Absolutely. That's what we do on this show.
Welcome back, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday. Beautiful day out there. We're going to find out from Dave Murray what we have in store the rest of the week. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
When do we change up?
Really late tonight is the first shot of a couple of showers, but it's primarily Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Hmm.
But it's not raining all the time. It's not storming all the time. Thursday is a windy day, changeable sky, mix of clouds and sunshine. There will be a couple of showers, couple of spotty thunderstorms, 75 for the high. So a little bit warmer than today. Dry on Thursday night, but it's very mild, partly cloudy, 66. On Friday, partly sunny, windy, couple of showers, couple of spot storms during the day, a warm 83. Still the best shot of showers and some strong, possibly severe thunderstorms will be Friday night. A little hard to put a timing on this now. It could be a little later on in the evening. 57 for the low, still unsettled over the Easter weekend. Saturday showers, couple of non-severe thunderstorms, slightly cooler, 64. Sunday Easter showers, scattered showers, and a couple of thunderstorms, non-severe on Sunday, and 65. The threat of severe weather, strong to severe weather on Friday night, brings to mind the Good Friday thunderstorm outbreak that we had in 2011. Mm. You guys remember that?
Sure do.
Yeah, that was the one that I'm still remembered for. In fact, I've gotten some emails on it already. That was a storm. You said you were going under the desk because the tornado hit about a quarter of a mile away from the station the time. Yep. That was, in fact, I even on the air, I said, okay, everybody, and we had gone through our emergency plans. Everybody, I know you're listening in the newsroom, safe location right now.
Wow.
Right now.
Dave, have you seen any or many twisters in real life?
Actually, took place in Kansas City when I was a young lad. I was probably in fifth grade, and we lived in Leawood, Kansas, and there was a tornado outbreak. I was out on our front step watching funnel clouds come out of the sky.
Hmm.
And what was great is my mom let me do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that really is what turned me on to weather.
How about that?
I can go right to that one event. Otherwise, yeah, probably about a handful of them.
Yeah. As a trained weather spotter, that's my move too.
There you go.
Right out to the front porch.
You guys are the same.
That's the St. Louis way. Oh, listen, the sirens are on.
Let's go see.
Everybody outside.
Let's go look.
So true.
It is.
It is true.
Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. According to a new survey from Open Door, 94% of Gen Z home sellers and 86% of millennials who purchased during the pandemic have buyer's remorse. So a lot of people picked up homes during the pandemic. It was a little bit of an easier time to get a property back then. And now they wish they hadn't. They feel like they sometimes picked homes because of remote work that, you know, then they had to go back to the office and it's now not working out the way they thought it was going to. And according to the same survey, 91% of those folks are selling the homes they bought during the last 5 years.
Wow. I also think there's a lack of true knowledge, especially first-time home buyers. I'll put myself in this category, even though I kind of paid attention growing up. You clearly underestimate what it takes to run a house.
Oh, yes.
Amen, brother.
One, that should be taught in school.
It really should be.
Yeah.
That and like balancing the checkbook. I know people say, oh, use a checkbook anymore. But banking stuff, stock stuff,
house,
you know, how to repair a toilet, how to repair a leaky sink. You know,
think about
like
that, right? Like if you think you can afford a house, can you afford it if the heater goes down? Can you afford it if the water heater blows up?
And be aware how much that costs.
Yeah. And how frequently it happens, right? It's not all the time, but like you should know every 10 years or every 5 years or whatever. And you toss all that, and I'm sure a lot of them learned that the hard way, where you're like, yep, I can afford this payment. And then, but it's not like in an apartment where when something goes wrong, they come fix it.
Yeah.
And you
also
have to
be aware, like when a water heater gives out, what that can do.
The other damage it can cause. Yeah.
Do you think
you got 40, 60 gallons of water. Where's it going?
We clearly.
It's not staying in there.
Our generation was marketed to. Lots and lots of propaganda, everything from, you know, country to here's how you should live your life. Do you think that it was purposeful that we all equate the American dream with home ownership? Do you think that was something that, here's how we're going to coalesce these people.
My understanding is that term, the American Dream, was a marketing campaign from banks trying to get people to buy houses.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not 100%, but I think that was like after World War II, getting into the 50s.
Yeah.
Like it was a marketing thing, and then it just became a bigger thing. I'm going to look that up. I'm pretty sure that's how it started.
I think your parents kind of drove that home too.
Yeah.
You guys are absolutely right. Many underestimated maintenance costs or overlooked inflation and interest rates and are now dealing with the reality.
So you can just come to us three guys for your headlines.
Yeah,
I'll just throw something out there. I'll let you guys take
it. There you go.
Retail sales rose 1.4% in March because shoppers were stocking up on big ticket items ahead of tariffs like cars and electronics. Excluding auto sales, retail sales increased by 0.5%. Categories like electronics, sporting goods, and restaurants saw gains, while furniture stores experienced a decline. Consumers are rushing to make purchases amid expectations of higher prices in the future.
We're in such a weird time. Whether you love it or hate it, Donald Trump truly is remaking America. And civics and the way that government operates. And it's so far within the rules, but it's definitely pushing the rules. Congress is meaningless. I mean, even the Republicans. The Republicans have both houses, and they can't do anything against the executive branch. They're not going to do anything against the executive branch. And now the judicial branch is largely doing its job, but the executive branch is going, yeah, we don't care. We don't care.
Curious to hear Reels' thoughts on this. Wiley Ballard was interviewing two female fans during an MLB game against the Blue Jays at Toronto's Rogers Center on Monday when, after being goaded on by the play-by-play announcers in his earpiece, he pulled out his phone and told the women, "All right, so they want me to get your number." So he got a number basically during the broadcast, and he is facing a lot of criticism because of this. People saying things like, well, what if a female reporter did anything like this? Their career would be over. And people are saying it's brutal to see it glorified by the broadcast. What do you guys think? Is it that serious? Is it that big of a deal?
It wouldn't have been 10 years ago. It is now. And you have to change with the times. And you have to be smart enough to not do things that are now considered stupid that weren't.
Right. But
the other thing is, if you've got somebody yapping in your ear, pull out your earpiece.
If they're telling you to do dumb stuff like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Even if it's a producer. No, go away.
I think
get out of my head.
We're actually at a time now, though, where there's a huge pushback against the criticism. Where there are a lot of people that are like, what's the big deal? She gave him the number. She wasn't like mean. He wasn't being mean to her or anything. Like, okay, but you're putting someone on TV and then putting them on the spot on TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, A, that's already an unfair situation. And, of course, they're going to be nice because they don't want to look like idiots or they don't want to look like jerks on TV. And look, maybe the girls were totally cool with it. And I say girls. They were young women. They were probably, I don't know, 20s, 30s, something like that. Maybe they were totally cool with it and it's not that big a deal. But I thought a lot of the women who are sideline reporters, I mean, almost all of them chimed in. Almost all of the big name women that cover sports chimed in on this, and they're like, that would end my career. I would be done today if I went to a couple of dudes at a game and asked for their numbers, because it would immediately end my credibility. Mm-hmm. Because then people like, see, they're just in it to get a husband. See, they're probably hitting on the players too. And I think they have a valid point. I don't think in the big picture it's that big of a crisis, right? But I do think that double standard is real.
Well said.
Yeah, don't be a pig.
Yeah, I mean, look, you want to hit on somebody, that's part of life, right? Don't do it at
don't
work.
Don't do it on the air.
Right, yeah, don't do it during your job. I mean, like, that guy, I don't know Wiley Ballard at all. I don't know if he's any good. I do know one of the broadcasters that was egging him on a little bit, a guy named CJ Nitkowski, and I don't understand why he thought that was funny. I don't get, I mean, like, again, what are you, 10? Go get her number, bro. Like, what is this, high school? You're professional broadcasters. Like, just call the game.
You know who'd do that, though? Ackerman.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Having a difficult time picturing that one.
I can see it.
Kim Kardashian will testify in person at an upcoming trial over a 2016 heist in Paris in which armed robbers allegedly tied her up and locked her in a bathroom while they stole millions of dollars worth of jewelry.
We all thought she faked it.
Yeah, I feel really bad about that. I went on the air and I was like, she's faking. That didn't happen. And then I saw the episode where they talked about what happened, and I don't think she's that good of an actress. Mm. I think it was a horribly, horribly traumatic experience for her, and she's very blessed that worse things didn't happen in the moment, because she was very terrified.
She may be someone, you see rich people, and you're like, God, if I could have that. I don't know that I would trade my life straight up for hers. I mean, having Kanye as an ex,
yeah,
the stuff he does with their kids and Ku Klux Klan hats and just, you know.
Yeah, she seems like she's under a lot of stress with all of that. She will be testifying in this trial, though. 10 suspects are accused of armed robbery, kidnapping, or other criminal charges, and they will go on trial in Paris from April 28th through about May 23rd. So, all right, the CDC is saying that 1 in 31 8-year-olds in the United States has autism. That is a massive surge since the year 2000. An estimated 1 in 31 8-year-olds were diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder in 2022. That was 1 in 36 2 years earlier. In the year 2000, it was just 1 in 150.
So it's either that we are now just diagnosing it much more, and it's always been there at those levels, or we're over-diagnosing and we're diagnosing kids who don't have autism, or something has caused autism, the condition, the disease, to grow. It's one of those three things.
So researchers are saying it's largely due to improvements in detecting autism and wider accessing to screening.
Mm-hmm.
They've also broadened the definition of autism.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that. Because we see this with a lot of things. The better you are at detecting them, the more of those things you're going to find. Because, you know, we didn't...
Trump's point during COVID.
Yeah, think about it. Yeah, right, exactly. But think about, Dave, when we were kids. If somebody displayed some of the signs that would now be categorized as some form of autism, maybe a mild form of it, whatever. Because obviously it is a range of things. It's not all one type of personality trait or one type of or one set of circumstances. Right? Every person with autism has a different version of that diagnosis. So when we were kids, you probably just would have been told you're different or he's quiet or whatever. And now we know enough to say, there's a test for this, or there are things we can look at.
Yeah.
And awareness is much greater. And if there are other causes, they haven't been proven. There are, you know, fringe people that say this thing does it. Vaccines are doing it. But that's not accepted by the vast majority of people that study those things. They have not been able to prove that. And, you know, I think the problem is we all want to try to guess at it. And I think you have to work the problem. You can't just decide you figured it out.
What do you think of people, probably mostly boomers, who react to things like that, like it's all a bunch of crap, they're making it up. I would have been diagnosed with it when I was a kid. I would have been diagnosed with ADHD. That's just called being 8 years old. How's that hit you?
It's unfortunate, to be sure, but I also think you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm a big believer in that.
Hey, Dave's still on the line.
Yeah.
I think it's very common amongst that generation to not believe these things, and they're at an age where you're not going to be able to convince them otherwise. And so it's just one of those things that's just going to stay with them and then leave with them.
Well, it wasn't, again, think about Dave and I are from a time where that would not have been thought of.
Mm-hmm.
They were from a time when none of it would have been thought of ever. It was just stop doing that or whatever. I mean, like,
I'll give you something to cry about.
And what it ended up doing was it ended up harming people.
Yeah.
Because people weren't getting the attention or the treatment they needed. But then you also have, like with ADHD and those things, there was a little bit too much like, okay, we're straight to medication.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fair criticism. Like, all right, we don't need to just jump right to that. There are other things we can do.
Yeah.
And in some cases, medication is required.
Yeah.
But, you know, we tend to go pretty fast sometimes with the simplest solution.
Yeah. When Nick was little, probably third, fourth grade, and he's pretty open about this, and he was having some troubles in school and trouble focusing and, you know, daydreaming and things like that. And, you know, so we had him tested and they're like, yeah, we think it's ADD, ADHD. And years later, he goes to me, he goes, Daisy. And I'm like, what? Her name was Daisy.
Oh.
He just had a crush on a girl.
So he was just...
He was just...
Zoning out because of that, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to do one more story?
Please.
According to a Survey USA poll, Democrats want to move to the left. So Andrew may be right, per our conversation yesterday. A recent poll shows that most Democrats want their party to become more progressive, with lawmakers like Bernie Sanders and AOC who are advocating for a more aggressive stance against President Trump. And the poll also revealed that Republicans are split on whether their party should become more conservative or stay the same.
I don't know if it's the right answer, but I know that the centrist stuff just ain't working.
And see, I don't think they've ever done it. I mean, just different points of view. We're on two different hills here.
Yeah, we've always kind of been.
They did do it. That's why Joe Biden was chosen to run against Trump the first time he did it. Because Bernie Sanders was not that. That's what Joe Biden was that. He's the guy that's been around. He can make deals. He can reach across the aisle. He's the centrist.
Dave and I have kind of always been on two different hills about this, though. Dave's a big believer that the Democratic Party, as it stands currently, is like so far left it's fallen off the cliff. And I see it as like totally middle of the road, pandering to Republicans, which I don't think is a good idea for Democrats, primarily because Republicans know what they want more than Democrats do.
You know,
apparently,
what I've come down to, and it's the Michael Kelly theory. I wish I could take credit for this, but Mike's the one who said it and made me really think this. Mm. The same way when he said that the mayor of St. Louis shouldn't be worried about reparations and social justice, they should be filling potholes. I feel that way more and more and more about the federal government as well, that I don't care what you think about all of these high... That's for us to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to have laws against discrimination, and you have to treat people fairly, and those are accounted for largely in the laws that we have now. Worry about the infrastructure. Worry about us. Worry about... kitchen table issues. When I say move to the center, that's what I mean.
Well, you also have to,
because we're probably pretty close socially.
The way you win elections is by winning the swing voters.
Yeah.
Who are by definition in the center because they swing back and forth.
Yeah.
So if people that are aligned on your side, right or left, are going to bail because they don't like that, then they're the problem because you're not going to win by just playing to the far ends.
Thank you, Dave. We'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
You got it.
Went really, really long in that last segment. It was a good segment, though.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit. There's so much to talk about with this space shot. The journey, the ride, Gail, Katie, Doors.
The crew.
The crew. Conspiracy theories.
Oh?
We'll talk about it a little
bit. I haven't heard those.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Cardinal winner today. You're welcome. I'm 6-0. Matt Pauly is here, but he's bored to death because he doesn't go on until Redbird Rush Hour. We feel you, buddy. When I came over to KMOX, I used to be so jealous of Reardon because he'd get days off and he'd do late starts. And on a late start, like we started at 3:40 today. I could have been here at 3 and it's totally fine.
Yep.
But I'm bored at home. Yeah. Like, everywhere I go, I'm bored. So then I come in here, and, like, I share an office with Rach, and we've been roommates now for years and years and years, so it's very comfortable. But it's not like we're yucking it up. We're just like, and then here's the weirdest part. I'll have been here bored to tears for 3 hours. Then I'm like, come on, extra innings. Come on, extra innings. Why? What am I gaining?
I want to be more bored.
I want to be more bored.
We want to do the show, but we're also, like, every time we're like, wow, fast game, huh? Wow, God forbid. We score some runs and slow this thing down.
Yeah, I get messages from you guys like when I'm doing an extra inning show. Don't speed through it or anything.
You're good.
You're good.
Give those people what they're paying for.
They always hear me in the background like, no, make it 10 minutes. Don't make it 5.
It's this hour, though, hour and a half between me wrapping up Cardinals Post and before we do Redbird Rush Hour. And like, I've got everything lined up for Sports Open Line tonight.
Yeah.
It's just incredibly boring and I don't know what to do with myself.
I think you have the toughest job in the station. And I think Wheeler had it before you.
Oh yeah, I would attest to that.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yes,
I want to be clear. It's fun, but The way that I've described it is to and you, I'm sure you would agree. I might have even said this to you, but like it's like when you spend a full day at Disney with your family when you go on vacation. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun, and at the end of every day, you're exhausted.
Yeah,
you are done because it's a lot of work. I mean that it like being at the ballpark is fun, but the schedule's hard, and you know it takes away basically every day on the, you know, on the weekdays at the very least. Where you can't do anything in the morning because you're too tired because you got home late the night before. And by the time it's lunchtime, you're getting ready to leave and go to work.
It's a lifestyle. Working in baseball is a lifestyle. And I've done it for starting my 10 years of being a minor league baseball play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
You know, 6 years in Milwaukee and now here. It's an absolute lifestyle. It's not a job. And it's one of the cool things about this job is I have two different jobs. I have the in-season job and the out-of-season job, which are completely different. But yeah, I wouldn't want to do anything else. But it commands your life. There's a reason that people who work in sports and work in baseball, there's such a high divorce rate. It is very. You have to be. Luckily, I am married to the right person who understands what she got into, and she's amazing with our kids.
Same.
But yeah, if she wasn't understanding, who has a job where you're like, never. There are weeks that go by that I literally am never in the same room with my oldest daughter because she's to school by the time I wake up and she's in bed by the time I get home.
That's rough.
And to be clear, we did say in the building, we're not comparing this to like really hard jobs.
Yes. No.
Like being firemen and police officers.
No.
We're not comparing it to that. Like in this building where people are either office workers or they're on-air people.
I actually think it's way harder than being a fireman. I said it.
That shift is the hardest
one. You've been wanting to say that for years.
Yeah. I've been wanting to say this for a long time.
To be clear, it is not the hardest job in the world. It's one of the hardest jobs in radio.
Yeah.
Yes.
100% agree.
What would be your reasonable, ideal job in baseball? Like, you guys are around it. Who do you see who's in the life and you go, that's pretty good?
Oh, I want to be the shot caller. Give me Mo's job.
You want to be Mo?
Actually, I'd rather be the owner, but I'm assuming that's not really a job. That's more of, you know, you're super rich and you bought something.
Yes.
So I don't know if I would count that as a job.
No.
I would count that as you bought the thing. So yeah, I would want to be the guy in charge. I'd want to be in Mo's spot. Sorry, Mo. I'm not coming for it, by the way, just so you know.
I like what I'm doing. Like I really mean that. Being around the broadcast and everything. This is... I'm living my dream. Are there different versions of the dream? Sure, but I'm leaving my dream. I can't think of anything in baseball I'd rather be doing.
I remember when Steve Moore was hiring your position. And he's like, there's this kid in Milwaukee. Really like him, you know. And that must have been really cool to get that news.
Yeah, and it took forever. It was such a long process. Yes, and I was getting in my head over it. And I knew how badly I wanted out of Milwaukee. And it was like the talks were going on as that season was getting started. But yes, I'm glad it all worked out.
Yeah.
And is there a Matt Pauly in pretty much every major market?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some version of it.
Doing basically what you do.
Every team and station handles things a little differently. Some teams will maybe take two guys and split it up over 7 days and one guy will do four or they'll do three. Some do like what we do, which is weekday weekend. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the majority. Although in some places, one guy does them all. Didn't you do that?
Yeah, I did them all. In Milwaukee,
it was all 7 days a week.
Yeah, and I was actually having like Vietnam flashbacks the other day because one of the things that they did that really angered me in Milwaukee was I still had to work all the games, but like my extended post-game show where I did all the calls and everything, they wouldn't do that on weekday day games because they wanted to get back into regular programming. But then I remember, for some reason, this popped in my head yesterday. Once it got to the postseason, of course, it's the freaking postseason. Of course you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And they did it 1 year, and then they stopped having it. So I missed some extended post games on some postseason games, and just the way they handled the Packers. Like a Packers preseason game would bump a Brewers regular season game.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like it was just, I don't know why it popped in my head yesterday, but it's so nice being somewhere where
baseball is
a priority.
It's probably because we were texting about you rooting against the Brewers.
Maybe.
Do many teams have the affiliates that we do?
No. Cardinals have the biggest network
in the country. So when I was going for this job, I was actually going for the Padres pre and post job at the exact same time. And the Padres have a 2-station network.
Right.
And the affiliate doesn't even run their pre and post. They run the game and nothing else.
Right.
So there are a lot of teams that are like that. That's like 2, 3, 4 stations. Now, there's, you know, the Brewers have like, I think, 30 stations or something.
Yeah. Cubs have a lot.
Yeah.
The older, like, I'm sure the
Braves have a ton.
Braves have a ton. The regional teams.
Yankees.
The Yankees probably have a lot of them. I don't know about the Dodgers.
I would think they have a
good
number.
I would think theirs is pretty significant since they've been out there for so long.
I think our count went up. You would think the count would go down based off the season that the team had, but I think we went from like 144 to 152 or something like that this year. Yeah. So shout out to Ben Boyd for taking care of that.
Yep.
Yeah. So not to steal from the rush hour, but what are you thinking about the Mets? How are they playing?
They're interesting. I mean, like, they're almost like Team Chaos, right? Like, they get a lot of attention. They make a lot of splashy moves. They went out and signed Juan Soto in the offseason, so you're going to see one of the best hitters in baseball. And they're off to a good start, but they're just weird. They're not particular. They're not as good as people thought they were, but they're actually pitching pretty well, which was my biggest worry about them. So, you know, they're good, though. They're a very solid team. They're similar to Philly in terms of overall quality. I think Philly's better, but I think they're similar. Yeah.
First two games of the series are going to be big. They're going to face Griffin Canning on Thursday and David Peterson on Friday.
Yeah, you want to get Canning if you can. Yeah. He's probably the weak link in their rotation.
Because you have Senga and Holmes on Saturday and Sunday, so that you'd rather have success early on in that series.
Yeah.
Although the Cardinals have been killing it against really good pitchers here lately.
No, I know. It's really been weird. Yeah. It's been weird. I don't think there's a reason for it. You know, we tend to seek reasons, especially when something happens a lot in a short amount of time. Like, what do you think that is? Why? And I'm like, I don't think there's a reason, man. I think just the way it happened. Like, it's just luck of the draw that you're going to end up beating those guys in the same week. If there was a way, if there was a reason, then you'd be able to apply that to other people, too. You wouldn't be able to just get the best guys.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I think that this year's team, under hitting coach Brant Brown, has a more individualized approach to the starting pitchers that they are facing. So they are giving themselves a better chance against these top-end pitchers than they would have given themselves previously.
What I've noticed, and maybe it's because of the change, but it's since the change in coaching, is that we're just getting better quality at-bats. We're just, even if they strike out eventually, they're getting six, seven, eight pitches. So
some of it is, I think, just as simple as who's on the field, right? I mean, like, Nootbaar's healthy. You know, when he's on the field, he changes their lineup because he's on base all the time, and that's the guy right there at the top. And Brendan Donovan is always that guy. I think the things that really have changed, though, is that what you're seeing with the catching position and the constant offense, whether it's Herrera or Pajes or Pozo, they've been the most productive group of catchers in baseball.
Yeah.
And that's a change. Now, that was Contreras last year, but keep in mind, Contreras missed half the year.
Yes.
And now he's at first and off to a bad start. But then you throw in, you know, the way that these other guys, like the Walker improvement, and that Victor Scott is having these tough at-bats and laying down a bunt hit like today and then stealing a bag here and there. Like, they do a lot. They're a much more versatile offensive team than they've been in the past.
Do you think had they, and again, this is woulda, shoulda, coulda, had they had this kind of patience last year with the young guys, we may have had a different outcome?
Maybe.
You might have. I mean, you put it this way. It wouldn't have been Victor Scott was really struggling last year, and he made the team because of an injury. He didn't go out and like steal the job. This year he went out and he took the job, and that was a different thing. But yeah, you might have a different Jordan Walker now if you had ridden with him last year and just gotten through the tough stuff. I don't know what it would have meant for last year's stats or last year's offensive numbers, but more experience is only going to make him better.
But they were so terrible hitting with runners in scoring position last year.
Yeah, it was just bound to get better.
The fact that they actually look like they have a plan now, if they would have looked like they had a plan last year, that probably would have been good for a few more runs. And if that's one or two more wins, things might look different. I know they fell, you know, once they were really out of contention, they fell off. But, I mean, this was a team that was up in the final couple weeks of the season, was a legit playoff contender.
Yeah, and they've got better depth this year, too, which is another thing that's pointing out. Last year, they had a bench that was completely useless, offensively speaking. You had a bunch of left-handed hitters who weren't any good. And now you have Luke and Baker there. Sajacy's up when you have somebody go down. And they're producing. They're doing the job. So you just have better depth, too.
So if you like this last segment, tune in at 5 p.m., the Redbird Rush Hour with Wheeler and Paulie.